In a recent budget decision that sparked mixed actions across Michigan, lawmakers and state politicians celebrated the passage of the budget into law early Thursday morning. However, the lack of increased per pupil funding has left many public school superintendents dismayed. This marks the first time since the onset of the pandemic in the 2020-2021 school year that such funding has not seen an increase. Now, to shed light on the implications of this decision and its potential impacts on Michigan's K-12 education system, we're joined on the JR Morning Live line by Robert McCann, Executive Director of the K-12 Alliance of Michigan. Robert, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You know, many public school superintendents were shocked over the lack of the increased per pupil funding, but then you have lawmakers arguing that despite the absence of the per pupil funding, that other targeted funding increases for like literacy programs and support for vulnerable student groups are positives. What's your take on that?
Well, both can be correct, but the reality is that the per pupil funding, this is the basic amount of funding that every school district receives for a student going there, is the most flexible and usable amount of money that any school gets from the state. That's money that can go directly towards whatever a student needs in terms of support for their growth, their health, and their success ultimately in a classroom, whereas those other funds are very restricted in what they can be used for. So if a student has one particular need, they can't use funding from another particular fund that doesn't match that. And so those restricted funds are absolutely not a one-to-one match for the per pupil funding. And when there's a $0 increase to that at a time where schools are facing significant inflationary increase in their own costs, that means we have less support for our students going forward next year.
Lawmakers are saying, you know, this maneuver that frees up this money that you would have had to pay into pensions and retirements allows you to have this free money to use it how you wish. But it seems like K-12 superintendents do not see it that way.
No, because they didn't do it the right way, unfortunately. This is actually a plan we have been advocating for several months now, in the sense that our schools have been paying into this educator retirement fund for decades now because of the debts that were accrued in it. And we're at a point in that system now where we were able to free some of that money up and direct it back into student programming. But again, to do that required consistency. So while the lawmakers passed a slight rate reduction, not as much as it should have been, and did free up some of that money, they haven't passed the policy, the law behind it, to guarantee that money going forward. So once again, we're left with a pot of money here that has no guarantee it's going to exist next year. And when that's the case in school funding, there isn't a superintendent or a school board member that would put that money to use in a long-term project, meaning you're not going to hire someone with that money. You're not going to put that towards ongoing student programming, knowing you may have to cut that only 1 year down the road because the money may go away. So if the lawmakers came back and passed a law that is sitting in Lansing waiting for it to be passed that guarantees that money going forward, that would change everything about this budget.
You know, in the wake of what happened at Oxford, there's also a lot of concern about making sure there's mental health intervention in our schools and that there is a robust school security resource fund. But my understanding is that those line items were also shrinking under this new budget. Tell me what's happened.
Yeah, it was pretty shocking, actually. That's in the last year's budget, the lawmakers allocated about $325 million towards school mental health and school safety. And that's money that has gone to very, very good use in schools across the state towards things like you just said, that we're hiring counselors to help students with their mental well-being and their socialization in schools. This is the money that's hiring the SROs, the police officers that are working directly in our schools. And so while that was funded at $325 million this past year, in this current budget that was just passed, it slashed 98%.
How do they justify that, Robert?
I don't have an answer for you on that, unfortunately. But I can tell you that is alarming for our schools, and it's going to have very serious ramifications across the board. If we don't have that money available, we can't have those services going forward, and that's a critical need in our schools right now.
So this decision really impacts day-to-day operations and planning for the districts across the state, and do you see layoffs coming?
That's a very real possibility. The reality is that every school district in the state had to pass their own budgets for the upcoming school year earlier in June, because their fiscal year starts on July 1. So what every school board member and every superintendent work on is a budget that has some assumptions baked in, that a budget is going to at least give us about this amount of money. Well, the reality is this budget that Lansing just passed is far, far below anyone's expectations for a budget. And so I believe every school district in the state is going to have to go back, readjust their budgets for the upcoming school year, significantly scale down some of those services. And yes, that very well may mean layoffs in a number of districts, whether that's teachers, counselors, other support staff. Without the money available, these positions can't be funded, and students ultimately are the ones that are going to suffer from that.
How much do pandemic aid dollars play in this? And what about, you know, the enrollment declines as well?
Yeah, unfortunately, this budget from Lansing is also coming at the same time where that federal pandemic money is running out. This was really the last year that those federal ESSER dollars, as they were called, that could be spent. And so that money is dried up at the exact same time we are getting, you know, this lack of support coming from Lansing. And so it sort of has a 1-2 punch coming to school budgets across the state that are going to be pretty hard for anyone to absorb without some pretty significant impacts on what they're available to offer our students. And yeah, you know, certain districts are also dealing on top of that with declining enrollment as students have moved around during the pandemic, as parents have shifted their students from one district to another based on what that district may have been offering during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so there's some very serious issues and financially being dealt with by schools across the state. And this budget, you know, comes on top of a couple that we were already dealing with at possibly the worst time imaginable.
Are there positives? There's more money for special education and disabilities, correct?
Sure. And those are always welcome things. We know that special education funding, at-risk programming, English language learning, those are always, you know, sort of additional costs that often haven't been accounted for in budgets that schools just have to absorb out of their general funds. And so when we do have those additional supports being put into the state budget that accounts for those costs, that's always a good thing for public education funding. And it's something we have advocated for. But that advocacy and those additional supports assume that there is a base level of funding for each student that is adequate to meet their needs. And when we don't have that, those categoricals, those additional over-the-top funding sources just don't make the budget as a whole work. And so we need to go back and fix the fundamentals in this budget before we can applaud the details that may be in there that otherwise would be positives.
Well, we will keep an eye on what will happen this next school year because of this budget. Robert McCann, Executive Director of the K-12 Alliance in Michigan, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, the Supreme Court raising the bar for prosecuting Donald Trump, giving him immunity for some of his conduct as president and his election interference case. We'll be talking with Barb McQuaid, the former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan, at 8:35.